C1R.
Number 3B.
On the other hand, you can feel very clearly that divine and infinite have an absolute connotation. The divine is divine, it comes from deity. And the infinite is infinite, it doesn't indicate really a relative sense that has to be counteracted. So those two have a higher, more absolute sense than incorporeal and supreme. But all four constitute what we call the four sides of the city, what we also can name the modus operandi, what Mrs. Eddy also calls in the prose work the calculus of Christian Science. And therefore now we understand why Mrs. Eddy, at the end of the seventh day of creation, after she has been presenting the 7 days of creation, said, now the numerals of infinity called 7 days of creation, that they can never be reckoned according to the Calderon-Stein, that they are of infinite value, and then ends up that paragraph and says, and as we get acquainted with them, thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. So at that point, she can see coming out of the human through the 7 days of creation and seeing that the days of creation become isness values, namely numerals of infinity, and no more developing values, but isness values as numerals of infinity, that then we touch absolute Christian Science. And therefore that calculus is not the incorporeal supreme calculus, it is then the divine infinite calculus. Those two terms within those four that indicate or point to the absolute sense of things. So you can see how absolutely exact Mrs. Eddy's terminology is, that she listened, so to say, to every word that she wrote down. Is it right? Should I change it? Is it exact? Does it ring true? Does it have the right pedal note? And so on. And in this way we begin to learn something about that holy city that is enormous. Well, this would be the first four. Then we come to the seventh synonymous term, and you know that the seventh synonymous term forms, so to say, the backbone of the science of Christian Science, that everything rests on a proper understanding of the seven synonymous terms. On the seven synonymous terms in the order as we have them here, and not in another order, or else it wouldn't be the word. You know exactly that the seven synonymous terms, when arranged differently, that they are no more symbolizing the word. Therefore, in the scientific translation of Immortal Mind, which depicts the Christ working, Mrs. Eddy puts those seven synonymous terms in a different order, into principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. And therefore, if she will put that order in here, it would certainly no more be the word as the word. It would be the word as the Christ, perhaps. So it isn't just that she gives the seven synonymous term. That's not so important as to see that she gives it in the order as she gives it. The order defines if it is the word or the Christ or Christianity or science or something else. Now, this is naturally a terrific issue, and I would say that issue which excommunicated us from the church. There is no other issue but this one. That on this question, really, the separation began between religion and science. That science just had no more room within a religious organization. I would like you, if you haven't done, to read a little booklet by John Dorley. It's called A Statement, and it's given out as free literature. This statement is fundamental to understand why we are not in the church, why the church cannot embrace us, why religion cannot embrace science. In that statement, John Dolly gives a short review of what he has seen at that time about the science of Christian Science, and then he gives the full correspondence between the board of directors and his answers on the issue. And that very first letter that the board of directors wrote to John Dolly, you really should read, and perhaps part, at least part of John Dolly's answer. Then you know where we are, and then we know why we are where we are. In that letter from the board of directors, which came out of the blue, so to say, the board of directors questioned John Dolly's teaching, telling him that he puts too much stress in teaching Christian Science, and a Christian Science teacher has to teach from recapitulation, as you know, that he puts too much stress on the order of the synonymous terms as given in recapitulation. Well, already that seems to be atrocious, to reproach a teacher that he teaches what is in recapitulation. Then they go on showing that he shouldn't do that because Mrs. Eddy doesn't put so much weight on that order. And as a proof for that, what do they give? You would hardly believe it, what proof they give. They prove that Mrs. Eddy, in her earlier editions of Science and Health, that order was different up to the date of 1907. And they quoted a page long all the changes that Mrs. Eddy has made in the definition of God. And you have there on that page in the statement, they have a wonderful recapitulation of how Mrs. Eddy, in the course of events, changed the order of the seventh synonymous term. We should be grateful for Boston that they have taken the trouble to go through some few hundred editions and point it out so that we don't have to do that research work. So they pointed out and said to Dolly, look here, you know, way back between 1881 and 1885, Mrs. Eddy only used the synonymous term life, truth, and love. Then later on, from the edition 1886 to 1888, she still only used life, truth, and love, but added also a bit substance as a capitalized term, and intelligence as a capitalized term. Very interesting, isn't it? Huh? Yes. Then, later on, they point out that Mrs. Eddy changed it again from 1888 until 1890, and there she added to principle, life, truth, and love, the synonymous term, mind. All right. Then they say they changed it again from 1891 to 1906, that Mrs. Eddy put there all the synonymous term there, but she said God is divine principle, supreme incorporeal being, namely mind, spirit, soul, life, truth, love. And then only later on in 1907, in the fourth edition, I'd like you to make a little note that it was 1907 in the fourth edition that for the first time Mrs. Eddy put the order of the synonymous term in the order that we have it today, as mind, spirit, soul, then injecting principle, and then life, truth, and love. I tell you later on why I think this is important to see. So can you see the reasoning that went on and the guts they must have had to write such a letter? to write, "You are not teaching properly, because in the earlier works," Mrs. Eddy used the synonymous term in a different order, though Mrs. Eddy says, first of all, you have to teach from recapitulation, and second, she says, one should always teach from the latest edition. I don't know from where they got that guts. I mean, they just, no. So this was really a revelation to John Dolly. And you see, still today, they take the same position. They still take the same position that the order of the seven synonymous terms are of no value whatsoever. And when they write and lecture about the seven synonymous terms, you can see they put them into any random order. In any random order. Now, that's true. You see, you can put them into any random order. Because of what? Because we know that they all refer to God. So, they all refer to God. And therefore, if you have seven that refer to God, mathematically you can calculate that, you see that it gives 5,040 different orders in which you can put those seven synonymous terms. So you have a wide range of possibility to use those seven in any kind of order. 5,040 orders. But Mrs. Eddy used it only in those three respective four orders. Why? Why? Because she not only defined God through the seven synonymous terms, she defined God also, in addition to that, through another category than the seven synonymous terms, namely through the category of the foresight of the city. That was her highest vision. And that vision had only four sides. That holy Jerusalem that came down from God didn't have 5,040 sides. It had only four sides. And they stood symbolically for something fundamental in science, namely for the calculus, for the operational sense, as were Christ, Christianity, and science. Therefore, the moment we introduce into the seven another category, like the Word, then the Word defines the order of the seven. Can you see? If we introduce the Christ, then the Christ defines the order of the seven. Or introduce Christianity then defines the order of the seven. So the accent is on order, not on the seven then. If we introduce the category of the Word, and the Word means stating in a progressive way the whole nature of God, then you can't do it any otherwise but start with mind, as let there be light, as the creator, as the origin, as the first, that which is always at the beginning. You can't help in an ascending way, in a clarification way, but start with mind and end up at point of love of the fulfilled sense. So within that range of mind and love, there is that 7 days of creation unfolding. It's really the ladder that where the angels go up the ladder, so that there is a definite line of reasoning that starts with mind until it reaches the point of love. So this is the reason why here, where we have the question of Word as Word, that the seven synonymous terms are put in that order. Yes. I will come back to this in the third question, where I will speak about another thing that is so important about the order. That would be the Word as the Word in absolute Christian Science. I'm not going to teach the synonymous terms. As I said, this is a class by itself. So we come to the second question, which is showing us now the Word as the Christ. Accent on Word, but with a little touch of Christ in it, but still remaining the Word. See, the first of the two terms is that which still remains, and the second one is just giving to that first one a little touch. So what do we have, or what would we get? If we have the Word of God as the definition of God, and have a little bit the touch of the Christ means what? We have seen the Word is statement, the Christ is expression. So what we now get, if we consider the seven synonymous terms as having between themselves, because there is nothing stated but the seven synonymous terms, if they have between themselves a touch of expression, and it is there, therefore, where we see that they express each other, they express God always in a different little way. And that is the question, are these terms synonymous? If we know what that question means in scientific impact, then we know that this is asking, has the Word within itself a Christ? Is the Word that is God always expressing itself in the same way? Or does it change sometimes? Is the expression varied? Yes, it is varied, yes, uh-huh. You get the sense that you have the Word that is not always the same block of things, an amorphous block of something, but that it has a lot of blending within itself, that it can express itself always differently, that suddenly God can express itself as mind. And that has different qualities than when God says, I express myself as spirit. Or when it expresses itself as soul, it still has again a different connotation, a different tonality, a different tone, a different qualities, different attitudes. This is the question here. Are these terms synonymous? That's the question. And she says, yes, they are. They are. Now, naturally, we would have to know what means synonymous. And this again is a terrific big question, namely, again, here science departs from religion, here science is excommunicated from the church. Religion cannot have that stranger. You know, she says, science is the stranger within thy gates. They cannot have that. It's thinking too intellectually and clearly and scientifically, and not in a smothering way, and in a smattering way. It shows that synonymous terms are terms that do not mean exactly the same. They are not, I think, what also the English language sometimes calls equinyms. They are not equal terms. They are terms that are only in one way interchangeable. They are only interchangeable when they refer back to God. But they are not interchangeable, this is the point, when they refer to the expression, to the Christ aspect of that word. Then they are no more interchangeable. Then each synonymous term has a different value, has a different tonality, has a different office, and therefore you can only use one of the seven synonymous terms when it is related to the idea. Then you have to choose the right one. If the synonymous term is related to God, back to God, then they are interchangeable, but not otherwise. You know that definition, that is also in the compendium, but always go back to it. always try to reinforce your understanding of what synonymous means, but because in the discussion with your critics, you will suddenly find out, very quickly find out, that they consider really synonymous term as equinyms, as equinyms are words of equal meaning. But the synonymous terms are not words of equal meaning. That's the problem. They are words that refer back to God. So, I read just for the sake of the whole development here, what is also stated in the compendium. By synonymous words, we usually understand words that coincide or nearly coincide in some part, not as a whole, in some part of their meaning, and may hence within certain limits, only within certain limits, be used interchangeably, while outside of these limits they may differ very greatly, and they do in meaning and use. So, here we see that the Word of God, God Himself, is expressed, has a Christ, can express itself always differently. Not always as what it is, but in a varied form, namely as mind, as spirit, as soul, as principle, as life, truth, and love. And these are the synonyms. He goes on and says, yes, are these terms synonymous? Yes, they are. They refer to one absolute God. Then he explains that differentiation. They are also intended to express, can you hear that Christ? Huh? Express. It's not just God that is God. God wants to express himself in its infinite variety. And so they are also intended to express what? And now we come to the nature, essence, and wholeness of deity. There are three categories already how the Christ expresses itself. It says, first of all, God must express itself as its nature, namely as mind, spirit, soul. Must express itself as its essence, namely that what it really is here for, namely as life, truth, and love. And as wholeness, namely saying that nature and that essence are built together, are bound together into one thing, and therefore that wholeness is principle, of which Mrs. Eddy always says that principle includes all the synonyms. That's a statement from Mrs. Eddy. You can look it up there. So this is the first step of expression, that he says, yes, God has various offices. There's the office of being the nature, and then the essence of that nature. You always get, you will see, always when we define the nature of God, what is God, compared with a false sense of what we have about God, then she always expresses it through the first three synonymous terms, through mind, spirit, and soul. But when we want to know what is really the main purpose of God, what does God really want to express, then we come always that it wants to express eternal life, absolute truth that has no error, and love that is all-inclusive and perfect. Because that's what we want to demonstrate. We are not going really to demonstrate mind, spirit, soul. What we demonstrate is the point of life, truth, and love. But on the basis of the nature of God, we can demonstrate that alone. Without mind, spirit, soul, we cannot demonstrate life, truth, and love. Without mind, spirit, soul, life would be material. You see, because mind, spirit, soul shows us that the identity of the nature of God is purely spiritual and mental. So, and then the wholeness, she says, these two wings, you can more or less consider that definition of God as two wings, where you have first the nature as mind, spirit, soul, and then the other wing is the essence, namely life, truth, love, and those two wings hang together and are brought together into one principle. That's why principle, she often feels, is a term that is the term for God, the modern term for God, because principle includes the way of understanding, mind, spirit, soul, and the way of demonstration, life, truth, and love. So the one wing is understanding God, the other wing is the demonstration of that nature of God, and all that is built on and hangs on the middle part, namely on the central principle. So in this way, Mrs. Eddy built up that definition. You can see why at the beginning, not at the beginning, but before she made the final change, before 1907, her order was that God is divine principle. You see, it's first the middle shaft, and then said, and this principle is what? This principle is mind, spirit, soul, life, truth, and love. And then in 1907 she could see that this is not giving actually a word order sense, that it is much more a science statement than a word statement. And so she changed it then, and we will see why she changed it and when she changed it. Yes, so here we feel, then she goes on showing that kind of a Christ touch in it and says, the attributes of God are justice, mercy, wisdom, goodness, and so on. You see a further expression through attributes. First through the nature of God, through the essence of God, and then finally also through the attributes of God. So you have a terrific aura round about the term principle God, and a whole atmosphere that is being expressed of that one term God. So you have God, Word, expressed Christ.